this year is dedicated. First of all, on behalf of my mother, my wife, myself, and Mary and my father, Zave Dove and Avram Walter Weitzner. Also by Vicky and Elliot Schulman, memory of Jack Palmer and Dubby and Irving Schulman. And by Marion and Billy Weiss, and they can listen to their parents, have Helen and Joseph Weiss, and Dora and Iris Strauss.
And
Mel Gluck in memory of his.
Yes, thank you everyone for coming and for the sponsors that Mitch mentioned. Because I want to revisit and visit a topic that I discussed shortly on Simchas Torah, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, okay, the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. And I want to try to extract three central themes in the mitzvah and one broader theme that unites, I think, the three themes that we'll see. The mitzvah appears in the end of Dvarim. In Parshas Vayelech, Torah says, first source on page 1, Ve'ata kisvu lochem es hashira hazos, ve'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael, sima b'fihem, l'man tia li hashira hazos le'ed b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so now there's a mitzvah to write this song, write down this shir, and teach it to b'nei Yisrael, place it in their mouths, so that this song will be a testimony between me and b'nei Yisrael. Okay, that's how the mitzvah appears in the end of the Torah. Now, you might be skeptical and say, what does this have to do with the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah? After all, the Torah presents it as a mitzvah to write what? A shira. Okay, so you could be skeptical about this being the source, but the Gemara already assumes that this is the makar for the mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara assumes that shira refers to the entire Sefer Torah. The source appears in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph from a base. Okay, and it's shocking. For such a seemingly important mitzvah, okay, you have only a few lines throughout all of Shas that speak about the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Okay, these two Gemaras that we have here on the first page are the only times the Gemara mentions the actual mitzvah. The Kosev Sefer Torah Lishmo is referring to a melech, a king has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. Ubilvaj lo yisna b'shalavosav. He can't fulfill his mitzvah through using a Sefer Torah that he inherited from his father. Amar Rava, afal pishe nichulu avosav la'adam Sefer Torah. Rava now generalizes and says this is not just true for a melech, this is true for every Sefer Torah. Even though somebody received a Sefer Torah as a Yerusha, as an inheritance, mitzvah lichtov mishalo, shenamar v'ata kisvu lachem es hashira hazos. Okay? Now, it's not clear if the source here is from kisvu, that you have an obligation to write it yourself, which means you can't receive it as an inheritance, or it's from lachem, which connotes a certain element of personal investment in the mitzvah. Okay, so we'll have to see in the Rishonim, they debate whether it's kisvu or lachem. So Rava says this about an individual's mitzvah, not just the melech. Esvei Abaye, v'kosev lo sefer Torah lishmo, shelo yisna b'shel acherim. We learned this halacha with regard to the melech. Melech in hedyot lo. It seems like a hedyot, a regular person, could fulfill his mitzvah through receiving it as an inheritance. Lo tzricha l'shtei toros. Gemara concludes, no. It means that a melech has to write two sefer Torah. A hedyot only has to write one. But the point is that for a melech, on both of those Sifrei Torah, it's not enough that he received it as Yerusha. He has to write two of them. Okay.
Why two?
It's not because the Gemara doesn't tell us, but the Gemara gives us a source at least. Kedetanya v'kasav lo es Mishnah HaTorah Hazos. When it refers to the Melech, it says he has to write Mishnah Torah. Mishnah means double. Kosev lishmo shtei toros. Acha shehi yotzitz v'nechneses imo. One Sefer Torah which goes and comes with him. V'acha shemuneches lo v'ez ganza. One which he has in his treasure house. Okay.
Are you going to explain how we derive Torah from the word Shira?
Okay, so the Rambam...
We go into Hazino soon after...
So the Rambam, here you have... Everyone follows the Rambam on this one. The Rambam says that you're not allowed to write a Sefer Torah Megillah. You're not allowed to write a Sefer Torah in sections. So you can't just take out one parsha and write it separately. So therefore, the Torah says you have to write a Shira. Once you have to write part of the Sefer Torah, you have to write the entire thing. That's how the Rambam derives it. Okay, so Shira refers to the Song of Hazinu, but in order to write the Song of Hazinu, you have to write the entire Sefer Torah. Now, some Achronim ask the question, well, what happens if the Sefer Torah is written up until Hazinu, and then you come along and you write in Hazinu, and somebody else finishes it afterwards? That's a case where the entire Torah is being written, but you're only writing Hazinu part. So people ask, according to the Rambam, are you Yotze in that thing? But that's how the Rambam derives it. Okay? So here we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay? The Melech has two Sefer Torah. Let's see again. Osa sheyotze v'nechneses imo. That Sefer Torah which goes and comes with him. Osa kamin kamiyah. He would make it like a small amulet. Tola bizro, and he would hang it from his arm. Shenemar shivisi Hashem l'negdi samid ki mimini bal emot. It's a pasuk in Tehillim where we say that Hashem should always be in front of my eyes because he never leaves my right hand. Okay, so you'll see that some Rishonim learned that he has a sefer, he has a sefer Torah on his right hand.
It's like tefillin.
Yeah, for the Melech it sounds like it's a kind of a tefillin, that his sefer Torah was always there wrapped around his arm.
He wore it all the time?
Yeah, that's what it seems like from this Gemara. We'll see this more in a few minutes. Yeah, but this is even more. This is with the sefer Torah, right? Right, so we could reinvent the Chabad movement. That's a walk around with Sefer Torah. But the king is not allowed to take his Sefer Torah into the bathroom or to the bathhouse. It always has to be with him, and he has to read from it. So he only has to bring it with him in places where it's fit to read from a Sefer Torah. But in a Beis HaMerchatz or a Beis HaKisei, in a bathroom, it's not fit to read from a Sefer Torah. So that's how you know the Melech doesn't have to bring it there. Okay, that's one Gemara. The second source that speaks about the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is Gemara in Menachos, Daf Lamed Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Yeshua Bar Abba, Amar Rav Gidel, Amar Rav, Halokeach Sefer Torah Min Ashuk, somebody who buys a Sefer Torah from the marketplace, Kechotef Mitzvah Min Ashuk. Okay, it's like somebody who like buys mitzvos on the open market. We'll see what that means later. Kotzvo, if he writes it himself, Malo Vakotzvo Kilu Kibbel Me'ar Sinai. If he writes it himself, it's as if he received it from Ar Sinai. Amar Rav Sheshes, Im Higia, Filo Osachas, Milo Olav Kilu Kotzvo. Okay, so the first day in the Gemara says buying it is problematic, right? It's like thinking that mitzvos are just like commodities that can be bought and sold. But then Rav Sheshes says, oh, but even if you fix one letter in a Sefer Torah, that's as if you wrote the entire thing. Okay, so we'll come back to this kind of interesting discussion in the Gemara, whether you have to write the entire thing or even just one letter.
Where is this derived from, that if you purchase a Sefer Torah, it's a negative?
The Gemara doesn't say. We'll see in the Rishonim later that they give a rationale for why it's a negative. Okay.
Can you describe the context that this pasuk, Chumash, but it says ve'atah and it's now, right? So what do you mean now? And if you kisvu lachem v'lindu as bnei Yisrael simu b'fihem, so it seems it's mashma that it's not everybody's writing his own; it's somebody's doing it.
So some of the Rishonim on the Torah seem to suggest that this is really only a mitzvah for Moshe Rabbeinu at that time, and it's not for Doros. That's how you'll see there. Some Rishonim that don't count a mitzvah at all of writing a Sefer Torah.
I mean, isn't that if you read the context again? I don't know what before.
From the simple reading of the Pesukim, that's the implication. Just Moshe to Yeshua, Rashi and the Ramban on the Torah read it that way, that it seems to be just for that one generation. Okay, but we'll see that. Everybody, except for Rav Sajagon, who doesn't count the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, everybody thinks there is a mitzvah for generations.
This is Hashem talking to Moshe?
Yeah.
And why is he saying Kisvu? They say if it's Moshe to Yoshua, he'd say Ksav Lacha.
Kisvu is Lashon Rabim. It sounds like it's plural.
Correct.
Right. So some people say it was a tzivoy for Moshe to tell the heads of all the Shvatim that they have to write a Sefer Torah for each Shevet. But it would still be for that one generation.
Yeah, but at least that you could get from the...
From the pasuk as plural.
Pasuk, but not that everybody.
So now let's look at the halachos of the mitzvah, and I want to bring out these three themes. The first theme is from what the Torah says, v'lamda es b'nei Yisrael. Okay, teach it b'nei Yisrael. And here I'll repeat a little bit from Simchas Torah. The Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Hilchos Ketanos in Menachos, the Rosh writes, we could see it here in the second to last source on page 1, v'omer ani, devadei mitzvah gedolah hi lichtov sefer Torah. It's a huge mitzvah to write a sefer Torah. V'gam ein limochro. You're not allowed to sell a sefer Torah. El lilmo Torah v'lisa isha. Except to learn and to get married. Chen kastav Rambam. The mitzvah is asei hi lichol ish Yisrael lichtov sefer Torah la'atzmo. Shenemar v'ata kisvu lochem es hashira azos. Kolomar, kisvu lochem sefer Torah sheyesh bo shira. That's the Rambam's interpretation. L'fisha ein kosvin ha-Torah parshios. You're not allowed to divide the Torah into sections. Therefore, you see that you have to write the entire thing. But this only applies to those earlier generations. Because they would write Sefer Torah to learn from it. Nowadays that we just have them in shuls to read publicly. The mitzvah is not to write Sefer Torah. The mitzvah is to publish chumashim and to publish gemaros and to publish the commentaries on them. Okay? So that you could learn with your children and your family. Ki mitzvahs ksivas ha-Torah hi lilmod ba. Because the whole purpose of writing the Sefer Torah is in order to study. Ki dichsiv lamda es b'nei Yisrael, sima b'fiyem. Right? The pasuk refers to teaching it to b'nei Yisrael. Maybe this is what you were pointing out also. The emphasis is not on the ksiva, it's on the teaching. So that we apply for generations. Ba'yidei ha-gemara v'ha-pirushin, and through gemara and the commentaries, Yodea Pirish Hamitzvos Vahadinim Alburiam. Lachain Hein Hin Asvarim Shadam Mitzuva Lakatzvam. Therefore, nowadays you have to write those books. Vegam Lo Lamachram Lo Lil Motor Belisa Isha. Okay, so we shift this mitzvah from the Sefer Torah to Chumashim. And therefore, you're not allowed to sell Chumashim Bizman HaZeh either, unless you need to use their money to have start a family or to learn Torah. Okay?
Certainly here it doesn't mean write them, it means purchase them, right?
Well, you'll see that back then, before they had publications, so it meant, you know, before they had a printing press, it meant that everyone would sit down and write.
But
so
today, it means go to buy an art scroll and Tina.
Yeah, it would seem that it's to go and buy an art scroll in any Svarim store. Okay? What? Yes, the mitzvah is to purchase Svarim for your family so you could sit and learn with your children. Okay? What? You're supposed to use them too. That's right.
By just contextual again, Hilchos Kitanos LaRush.
Yeah.
I understood that the Rush wrote on the Gemara in the back and what is Hilchos?
Hilchos Kitanos is the Rush on Kadshim. In the back of Menachos, he'll have Hilchos Kitanos, because it's only a subsection of Kadshim. And there he talks about Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, Tefillin. All those sugyas appear in Menachos.
It's codified? Or it's
it's right there. Open the back of a Gemara Menachos, and you'll see the Rush is in the back. Hilchos Kitanos. Exactly like the Rush and the rest of Shas.
Oh, it's like that.
Exactly like the Rush and the rest of Shas.
Okay.
I
cannot sell my
Svarim. Right, unless you need it to pay for your kids' education or to start a family. Those are the two exceptions, which is a big chiddush, right? Because you would think maybe this is limited to a Sefer Torah, which has Kedusha, can't sell a Sefer Torah. Here it seems that even if you have like an English art scroll, let's say, which doesn't have Kedusha, right, but there's an Isser to sell it because the mitzvah is that you have books readily available for study.
Even though the purchaser is going to fulfill the mitzvah.
It seems that even though the purchaser will fulfill the mitzvah. It seems that way.
This is a reseller. This is not a book reseller, right?
Yeah. We'll see. Some Rishonim say that obviously this doesn't apply to people who write Sefer Torah professionally or writes Svarim professionally.
Right.
What? Well, you're right. So you're only allowed to buy it from a professional seller who writes it with condition that he's not his. He's going
to
sell it to other people. Okay, so we'll see. It seems like according to this, you could bypass the whole notion of writing it, right? Because the purpose is really just to learn from it. Okay. Yes.
Well, if you like a lot of chumashim, and you have a friend that it's moving in a few weeks, but doesn't have any. Are you allowed to sell to him?
That's a good question. There's a whole discussion. If you have multiple Sifrei Torah, maybe you could sell one of your extra ones. So it seems like in this case, maybe if your friend doesn't have any Chumashim, it would seem that you'd probably be able to sell it to him. Poor guy, right?
So how can you resell? Am I missing something? How can you resell a Sefer Torah?
So we'll see. Presumably it's problematic to resell a Sefer Torah. Presumably there's a problem with it. Okay?
And
okay.
Lisa Isha is because of Talmud Torah.
Yeah, so we'll come back to the Lisa Isha. Why you could we'll come back to that in a minute. And I never came back to it. That's what this is about. This is just
this is number three.
Right. Okay, so the Beis Yosef. Okay, the tour paskins this chiddush of the Rush that Bizman HaZeh, there's no mitzvah is to write Shar Svarim, Chumashim. And he writes a quote from the tour, because of Adoni Avi, the tour is the son of the Rush. Shazel lo nemar el doros rishonim v'chule. Avalo ina shakosin sefer Torah menichinos beis haknesses ad imlo lumotar. Fine, that's the quotation. V'hilchot sefer Torah. V'yesh l'tmoa. This is astonishing. Heich ba harash liftor la'adam mi mishpas k'siva sefer Torah ulachlifa b'chumashim mishnayos v'gemaros v'perusheyem. How could the Rush just come along and undo this mitzvah that's explicit in the Torah? Shehare lo tala ta machilok bein adoros harishonim l'doros halalu. So he says, how could you just come along and say this? Torah says, write a Sefer Torah. The Rush has a chiddush that back then they used to keep them in their homes and learn from them, and today we keep them in shuls. What, that's enough to write off an entire mitzvah in the Torah? Right? And imagine today we could do away with so many mitzvahs to make getting rid of Yom Tov Sheni look so easy, right? Today that we know the calendars, we don't have it anymore. Oh, so the answer to that, we'll see in a moment. That we'll see in a moment. Okay. Good morning. So the Rush continues. The Imkain, third line on page 2. The Imkain, Havalei Lameimar, Shagam Achshav Chayavim Lichtov Sefer Torah, He should have said that we should also use our Sefer Torah to learn from, like they did back then. Can't be that he's trying to exempt you from the actual mitzvah. So this is a, you know, a classic reductio ad absurdum in the Beis Yosef. The Rosh didn't come along to tell you that there's no mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah b'zman hazeh. He just meant to add on that there's also a mitzvah to write Shar Chumashim. If you read the Rosh doesn't sound this way at all. Right? The Beis Yosef is arguing it's inconceivable that the Rosh really held this way. So it must be that he meant that there's an additional mitzvah to write Shar Sorim, but not that there's any difference in the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah itself. Okay? V'shezeh yoser mitzvah milichtov Sefer Torah. Aval lichtov Sefer Torah. But of course, still the mitzvah, the main mitzvah, is to write a Sefer Torah on your own. Right? Because obviously you could use a Sefer Torah today in the same way that the earlier generations did. Beis Yosef is the 16th century. Right? The Beis Yosef was born in Spain. His family had, he wasn't born, he was born in Toledo in the 15th century. And his family fled to Turkey initially, and then they ended up in Sfat. And he flourishes in the beginning of the 16th century, in the early 1500s. Okay, we'll see. For some reason, the question of Sefer Torah is like in that century. Like everyone's dealing with this question. We'll see in the 16th century. The rush is already the rush is the 14th century. He's 200 years earlier.
Printing press was just invented.
Yeah,
around that. Okay. Yeah, I think the Beis Yosef would be a little earlier.
The printing press was invented before that, in the 15th century.
Right.
1542
was the first mass published.
When?
1542.
When was the Gutenberg?
There were Hebrew
books. Yeah,
1542. What do you say? Were you checking it up?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have early 16th century.
There were Hebrew books in Spain before the expulsion.
Printed. Okay. The Maharal Prague. Okay, also the Maharal Prague is also, he's also 16th century, around that, he's in Prague, so he's in Central Europe. So he also quotes this position of the tour. V'lo nihira l'dvarav, it can't be, ki mi yishlach yado lakar mitzvah haseh min haTorah, who has the audacity to uproot a mitzvah from the Torah? Them love loses time the mitzvos, if we start giving a reason for all the mitzvos, v'loses acheros tachteim, and to replace them.
1442.
The printing press, okay, so Harold is right. Minot tiskai matorah. Right, if you could always change the mitzvot of the Torah with their reasons with something else, then how you gonna have the Torah continuing for generations? Okay, so already the Maharal Prague and the Beis Yosef were upset with this position of the Rosh, and they said Chas v'Shalom, he doesn't mean to change the mitzvah; he means simply to add on to it. Okay, the Prisha. Okay, the Prisha is a generation after the Beis Yosef, so I think that brings us to the 17th century. The Prisha is a Talmud of the Marshal and the Rama. Okay, the Ramah is the Ashkenazi, Moshe Isos, who wrote the comments on the Shulchan Aruch. The Prisha writes on the Siman. Here you have in the middle of page 2. Nira dehachi ka'amar, she'am mitzvahs aseh nemar dafka be'elu v'lo b'sefer Torah. No, I think the Rosh meant what he said. The mitzvah is dafka to write Shar Svarim and not to write v'lo b'sefer Torah, not to write a Sefer Torah. The dafka b'yemeyim sh'ayulom dem Torah sh'bal peh sh'lom en achzav, ki'im al peh ha'yitzrichim lomod m'sefer Torah ha'metuyeges kehil chesa. Okay, back then, okay, in the times of the Gemara, the only way you could learn from a written text is if you read from a Sefer Torah itself. Why? Because remember, Torah Shebal Peh wasn't allowed to be written down. Okay, it's a heter that came later. So the only way you could learn from a text that hints at all the interpretations of Torah Shebal Peh is to read from a Sefer Torah that has the letters written the right way, the format of a Sefer Torah written kitzurasa, with the crowns on all the osios, and he says, "Kihem kulam rimazim heim liskar al yadam Torah shabape," because the way a Sefer Torah is written is so that it reminds you of all these halachos that are derived from it. Kida amra Rabbi Akiva shayidoresh al kol kotz v'kotz tilei tilim shal halachos. Like the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva would interpret every symbol inside the Torah itself. V'lachein hayemitzvah kol ish miyisrael shiyelo Sefer Torah. Aval bizmanenu shenismatu halavavos. Nowadays, that, you know, we don't have as good memories, so we're not as smart. And they allowed you to write down all the interpretations. The Gambi Yemeyem Haya Isser B'davar Shalo Lichtov Hei Chum Sheitor. Back then it was also Asr to write Chumashim. Ki Im B'derech Shenichtev HaSefer Torah Bigalila. V'im Kein Kol Sifreim Hayidomim LaSefer Torah. Masha Enkin Bismanenu. Okay? So he thinks the reason why you have to write a Sefer Torah then is because that's the only way where you could try to derive the laws of Torah Shebaalpeh from Torah Shebichsav.
Is a lot of what you say Torah Shebaalpeh?
Probably, in this sense.
That's what those Tadam are.
That's what they're alluding. That's what they're alluding to. That's what he's saying. Yeah. Okay? But nowadays that we have Torah Shebaalpeh written out, so you don't need to learn from a Sefer Torah, so the real mitzvah is to write Shaar Svarim. Now look at this. He goes further. Imkain, this is the second to last line, the Aleph Chaf. Lama lanu lezalzel b'chavot Sefer Torah l'chinam lilon mitocho shelo letzorech. Why should we desecrate the Ketusha of a Sefer Torah by learning from it when we don't have to? Okay, so to take a Sefer Torah out of the Aron and to learn from it with your kids, he thinks that's like a zilzel of the kavod of a Sefer Torah. It's a desecration. Because you could just use an Artsul Chumash. I think this is a very, very interesting... What? Oh, this makes sense to you. No, no. I was going to say, I think this is very controversial.
Why does it make sense?
Yeah, well, it's a zilzal of a Sefer Torah to learn from it. Yeah.
But the problem is it's impossible to learn from a Sefer Torah. Yeah. That's the problem.
You could learn any...
No, it used to be, there was a thing called the Rebbe Shetorah. Most Rebbes in the old days, 100 years ago, had their own little private little Sefer Torah, and they carried it with them all the time and learned from it.
Forget that. You can't learn from reading a Sefer Torah if you don't know Torah Shebaalpeh and the interpretations. If we followed what was written in the Sefer Torah,
okay. But is it a zilzal?
We'd be doing almost nothing.
Okay, but is it a zilzal, let's say? Let's say you want to teach your kid how to learn for his bar mitzvah. He's saying there's a problem to take a real Sefer Torah and to use it.
I understand that also, because you might spill coffee on it, you'll spill juice on it. I
don't think he's worried about the spilling coffee. I think he's saying Sefer Torah is meant for Kriya B'Tzibur in the Beis HaKnesses. But the counter argument, I think, is what he means. The Sefer Torah is to be learned from. Right? So what better use of the Kedusha Sefer Torah is there than to sit and learn with your kids?
But more than that, but how is somebody going to learn how to darshan Kasser, Mala, etc., etc.?
So he would say use a tikkun. So they could say use a tikkun bisman hazeh. Don't use the klaf Sefer Torah that has Kedusha. Okay? But I think it's very fascinating. The Prisha's argument is that bisman hazeh, it shifts to Shaar Svarim, because we shouldn't be desecrating the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. And this answers your question earlier. Yeah, I think that's a very apt analogy. Yeah, I think that's a very apt comparison. Now, what do you respond?
Billy? Well, you can't learn halacha from the Gemara, per se.
Okay, so not, but you can still learn something. You could learn something from...
I don't know what you can learn from reading the Sefer Torah if you don't know all the other things that go along with it. These poor farmers that lived in the... In pre-Mishnaic terms, they're sitting there in the house.
Forget about the poor farmer.
To be able to learn from it.
Forget about the poor farmer. Speak of the Wharton graduate sitting in New Jersey.
That's a different story.
I mean, isn't this just practical? You know, it says, Eis Laso Slashem Efer Shar Zepa. So if we had a Sefer Torah here, unless we had this number of Sifrei Torah, we wouldn't be able to learn. So at some point, they took stock of all these post-aches, and they said, how are we going to... Limud is the thing, so we can tell. So we'll print a chumash, and everybody can take his own...
Yeah, but that's not why they started printing chumash, not because it was too expensive. The reason why they started printing chumash is because people couldn't learn anymore from a Sefer Torah. Right? It was too hard to contain all of Torah Shebaalpeh as a verbal tradition. Right, so we had to write it down.
Even enough chumash, there weren't Sifrei Torah. How many Sifrei Torah were there?
He had a Sefer Torah with him.
It was a small one.
It was a small one, yeah. Yeah. Well, see, there's a whole story about, I think Weitzman gave a Sefer Torah to, who did he give it to?
Harry Truman.
Truman, right? And it's in the Truman Library now. It's, really? And it has like a nice aron there. Okay, so we'll come. Okay. So this is clearly one theme. So we have a machlokas here, whether according to the Prisha, the rush meant... Really? So we have machlokas here. Okay, according to the Rush, the mitzvah is certainly bisman hazeh to write Shaar Svarim. According to the Prisha, the Rush meant that it's only to write Shaar Svarim, and this is because the mitzvah is simply to learn from a Sefer Torah. There's no mitzvah per se in the writing of it or owning it. It's to learn from it. So therefore, the mitzvah shifts to other Svarim. Let me just bring two other sources that bolster this interpretation that it's about the mitzvah of limud. That's about learning the content of the Torah. The Maribe Rav in Simen Samech Beis. The Maribe Rav is the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. Okay, he's the teacher of the Shulchan Aruch. So this brings us back to the 15th century. Shala me'es mori harav naru. Mari Berav is repeating a tshuva from his Rebbe. Hakona sefer Torah la'atzma m'chayv levarich. Someone buys sefer Torah for himself, does he make a bracha? V'hechi varich bo. And what bracha should he make? Oh, im dailo bebracha shemevarich kishakoreba. Or is it sufficient that he makes a bracha when he reads from it the first time? Okay, presumably he means the birchas Torah that he makes when he gets an aliyah. V'im chayv levarich shechiyanu. Is he chayv to make a shechiyanu when he writes a sefer Torah? V'eze zman yivarich. And when should he make this? B'shas haknia o kishakoreba. Okay. So all these questions are when you should make the bracha. Nearly, next paragraph. The ein asiyas gemar mitzvah. So I think that the completion of the sefer Torah is not the completion of the mitzvah. She'efshar mimasha amar b'torah she'ein aksiva gemar mitzvah. She'arei ksiv v'kosav loes mishnah ha-torah v'hoysa imo v'karabo kol yimei chayev. Ki gemar ha-mitzvah hi ha-kriya she'yikrabo. The completion of the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is not when you finish writing the text of the Sefer Torah. The Gemar HaMitzvah is when you use it for the first time. Okay, this is the same rationale that you don't make a bracha when you put up your sukkah, because we say that the Gemar HaMitzvah of building the sukkah is when you sit in it for the first time. Okay, so you don't make a bracha al ksiva Sefer Torah. You only make a bracha when you use it in shul. So it's very controversial. Last year we spoke that maybe there's a mitzvah of building a Sefer Torah. What? Yeah, exactly. Right, but there's also by Sukkos we say Teshu, Basukkos Teshu Shavas Yama. We also say how's it go? There's no pasuk that refers to the.
No, it's talking about Yaakov building Sukkot for his animals.
No, but I thought there's a pasuk that refers to the. I'm pretty sure there's a source that refers to the mitzvah of building a sukkah. It'll come back to me. Yeah, but then it might not have kedusha sefer Torah. Kedusha sukkah. And some people say that.
You can't hire a Gentile.
Yeah, it's like hotels. Hotels will have a Jew like shake all the schach. Because it's not considered a complete sukkah if it's just built by a Gentile. Right.
Harold, I have them put up the walls and then I put up the schach.
Do you do that? Because of this idea that there's the Rashba says it. There's no kedusha on the sukkah unless.
Why are you climbing up there? I always do this. They just make sure I don't fall. Sort of hold on to me.
Okay, so this Maribe Rav, the fact that we're not going to make a bracha on the writing of the Sefer Torah, again, implies that the mitzvah is really in the limud. Right? The mitzvah happens later when you learn from it for the first time. And he says something similar about Shechiyanu. You shouldn't make a Shechiyanu when you buy the Sefer Torah when you finish writing it. You should only make a Shechiyanu when you read from it the first time. Okay, this is the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef. So again, the mitzvah is on the limud, not on the actual writing. Anybody here write a Sefer Torah? You wrote a Sefer Torah. And you didn't make a bracha. Right, but you didn't make a bracha when you finished writing it. Right? That's how we... And they didn't write... You didn't make a bracha when you finished the Ksiva, neither did the Sofer. Right, because we paskin like this, Maribe Rav, that we don't, even though there's a mitzvah, that we think the real mitzvah is when you read from it the first time. Okay. Another nafkamina, another ramification of the mitzvah being on the limud. And here again, I repeat, the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Taf Reish Yud Gimel says that women are exempt from the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. You can see here on page 3, the Chi of Nashim section. V'noheges b'chol makom v'chol zman bizcharim shehem chayavim b'talmud Torah. Only men who are obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right, so because men are obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, they're the ones who are obligated in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Okay, we'll see. Other Rishonim disagree. It's a very controversial psak of the Sefer Achinuch. But at least his idea is that because they're exempt from Talmud Torah, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Ksiva. So again, you see that the mitzvah is for the learning. Okay. Here we move on. The Gemara in Megillah Adav Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara tells us that you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. There are two exceptions. We saw this in the tour. One exception is to learn. The other is to get married. The Gemara says, why are you allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to learn? Dilma Shaini Talmud. Sha Talmud may be Lidei Maisa. Right, the reason why you could sell a Sefer Torah to learn is because learning brings you to doing mitzvos. Okay. Isha Nami L'Sobara L'Sheves Yitzara. Okay, but also getting married. The world is created for Puravu, so you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah to get married. The Achronim point out if you hold like the Rush that the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is in order to study, in order to learn, and you hold like the Rush himself says, turn for a second to the top of page 4, this is a quote from the Torah quoting the Rush, that not only is the mitzvah in order to study, but you also hold that the prohibition on selling a Sefer Torah stems from what? The mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Okay, so look here, top of page 4 for a second. Mitzvah aseh kol adam yisrael sheyichtov Sefer Torah, top line. Amod sarich lachzor achareha. Dam Rabbi Shuv and Levi alokeach Sefer Torah min hashuk echotef mitzvah min hashuk. Kasva o higia afilo asachas kilu kibbe me'ar sinai. Kol shekein she'eno lemochro. How do we know that you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah? It's derived from the fact that you have a mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah.
Mitzvah is to retain.
If you have a chiv to write a Sefer Torah, the Rush argues, then a fortiori you know that you're not allowed to sell it.
What happens if you have more than one?
So you might say that already refutes his kol shekein.
Right.
Right? Okay. What? Or even a melech? Does the melech have
I'm not talking about the king. I'm talking about an individual.
But no, but then you've already been behind
okay.
The mitzvah.
Well, it's not clear. But notice. For him, the prohibition on selling a Sefer Torah is a subset of the obligation to write a Sefer Torah. If the whole obligation is in order to learn, okay, so then the prohibition on selling it presumably is so that you're still able to learn, that you have books in your home. So therefore, if you have a competition between your ability to learn and your ability to keep the Sefer Torah, sell the Sefer Torah in order to learn.
Does that apply to any mitzvah? Like, can I sell my sukkah?
What?
Can I sell my
sukkah? No prohibition on selling your sukkah. There's only a prohibition on selling a Sefer Torah. You're saying why?
I'm not going to make the kind of mitzvah relationship with sukkah.
Okay. That's also an argument against this Rush. Okay. Right. How else could you explain the... So, but you see, if you take the Rush's interpretation, you could see why you could justify selling a Sefer Torah for Talmud Torah. The chiv to write a Sefer Torah is to learn. The prohibition of selling it is because you have a chiv to write it. That's also to learn. If it conflicts with your ability to afford a Jewish education, sell the Sefer Torah and enroll yourself in yeshiva.
Can't you sell it with the Yom Shavuot?
A lot of Rishonim say you can't. Machlokas Rishonim. Because the Gemara only says these two things. Some Rishonim say, well, of course, Pidyon Shavuot. Some Rishonim say, of course, not Pidyon Shavuot. Okay.
Lisa Isha is to teach.
Lisa Isha will...
It's not learning.
We're still going to come back to the... Oh, so one problem with this interpretation... Yeah, that works nicely for Talmud Torah, but what do you do about Lisa Isha?
Right? Your wife works and lets you learn.
Very good. Your mother sits there quietly. Shtika kehoda, that you're endorsing his... Okay.
It doesn't work that way, right?
So how do we explain this according... How do we explain the fact that you could sell Sefer Torah to get married? So you would say get to teaching also, perhaps. But let me just say, how else could you explain the prohibition on selling a Sefer Torah? How else could you explain it if you don't take this interpretation of the Rush? We have a few questions, right? For example, the question, how come you have a chiyuv to have a sukkah, but there's no isser on selling your sukkah, right?
There's no kedusha attached to sukkah.
You'd say the prohibition of selling a Sefer Torah has to do with the kedusha Sefer Torah, right? The Rambam says that. Look here for a second on page 4. One second. No, it doesn't seem like it. Look on page 4 for a second. Oh, where we are, right after the source I gave you. Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Beis. Okay. Let me just note, the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah in Perek Zayin. That's chapter 7 of these halachos. The mitzvah to write it. Here, three prakim later in Perek Yud, the Rambam says, Sefer Torah kasher nogim bo kedusha yaseir v'kavod gadol. V'asel adam limkar Sefer Torah. Afilu ein lo ma yochal. Right, even if you don't have anything to eat, now to sell your Sefer Torah. You see, the Rambam doesn't think that the prohibition of selling the Sefer Torah has anything to do with the mitzvah of writing it. But the Rambam has to do with the kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Part of treating it with respect is that you're not trying to get rid of it.
Certainly, he doesn't mean that.
What?
If you have no food, you can't sell the Sefer Torah. He doesn't mean that.
He doesn't mean what he says. Only a lawyer could say such a thing.
Well, the process, right? He's not suggesting that you starve.
Not starve to death, but you know, pinch another hole in your belt. You know, that's what he.
He doesn't mean low yoke.
He says, Afilu.
He means lo yochal 3 meals a day.
Okay. Oh. It's open to interpret. I mean, the Rambam says lo yochal. I'll give you, if you want to see a nice idea behind this, the Sefer Abatim, who's a big, big follower of the Rambam. He's writing a century later. He's a big rationalist and likes giving philosophical reasons for the mitzvahs. So we'll see him later. I didn't give you this section, actually. If I could, I don't have it here. But the Sefer Abatim says that it's a nice idea to show that a Sefer Torah is like the Chaya Nefesh, it's like the life source of B'nai Israel. So you show that if you don't have anything else to eat, you're not going to sell your Sefer Torah because this is our ultimate life source. So it's like there's symbolic...
Presumably, he's talking about selling it to another Jew who's going to do everything...
Still, it's your life source. It's your life source. Okay? But either way, you could see the Rambam thinks that selling the issue of selling a Sefer Torah has to do with the Kedushas HaSefer, not with the Mitzvah of Ksiva. So according to Rambam, you have to explain also why Talmud Torah justifies undermining the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Okay, so keep that question in the back of your mind. According to the Tur, you have this nice equation, Talmud, Talmud. According to the Rambam, how does Talmud justify undermining the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah? We'll come back to that. Yes?
I remember learning that if it's because of Nefesh, and you can't save a Sefer Torah, it'd rather be the Sefer Torah that gets destroyed rather than the human being.
Get destroyed.
Get torn up or burned.
Yes, yeah, so that's what Harold's pointing out, that it can't be that you're supposed to sacrifice your life or your well-being for the Sefer Torah, but at least, you know, you're supposed to cut out a meal from your day to save the Sefer Torah.
You're sacrificing for the Sefer Torah. You can't sell it. I can't sell it to you.
Right.
I should starve rather than giving it to
you.
Sell it.
Right. You can see there's a huge uproar when Weizmann gave that Sefer Torah to Truman, right? I mean, here we say not even allowed to sell it to a Jew, let her give it as a gift to the... There's a whole story with how they ended up giving him the.
Gave him a puzzle.
I'm sure it's a puzzle.
Is that what they gave him? I'm not sure.
Probably blank.
What? Well, is it a blank Sefer Torah? I don't think so.
You did that one page.
One second. So from you can't sell, you learn out that you can't give. Forget that was not true.
Yeah.
You can't give.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we're going to see that also.
That means only the Sefer Torah that you
Well, it seems like the same thing would apply to a shul also, and we'll come to this right now. Okay, so this is our first theme. Our first theme is the mitzvah of limud, that the mitzvah is for Talmud. Here we have a few nafkamina. You don't make the bracha when you write it. Women may be exempt from the Sefer Torah because they're not obligated in learning from the Sefer Torah. According to the Rush, you could sell a Sefer Torah in order to learn because that's the whole purpose of writing it. And according to the Rush, L'shitaso, the mitzvah bizman hazeh is the other svarim that you learn from, not for a Sefer Torah, because we don't learn from it. Okay? Now I want to move to a second theme in the mitzvah of Sefer Torah. And here the notion is that of having to have a bailos, lachem, ownership over the Sefer Torah. Okay, turn here to page 4. Turn to page 4. The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Tafresh Yud Gimel already raises the question that the Torah says Kisvu Lachem Es Ashira Hazos. So there's some minimal requirement of bailos, ownership. The Minchas Chinuch writes second to last source on page 4. V'hinei Lashon HaRambam Mitzvah Aseh Sheyichtov Kol Echad Sefer Torah La'atzmo Nira Bevadai Detzarch Sheyi HaKlaf Sheyi HaShelo HaKlaf V'Hadyo. The person who's doing Mekayim the Mitzvah has to own the ink and the parchment. If you write a Sefer Torah on klaf, which you're not allowed to derive any benefit from, it's asr bahana for some reason. So it could be that your yotze, if you hear kriyas haTorah from this in shul, because mitzvah lav lihanos nitnu, you're not considered to be getting any benefit from it. Ach efshar tzarich lachem, v'yisri hana lo havi lachem. Maybe you actually have to have halachic ownership over the book. Things that are prohibited bahana are considered out of the jurisdiction of ownership. So therefore, your Sefer Torah has to be something that's mutter b'hanah. So you could have lachem. Okay, a stronger formulation of this requirement of ownership is in the Pischei Tshuva on Yardeh. The Pischei Tshuva is a commentary on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. He tried to update the Shulchan Aruch with all like the contemporary tshuvos of the Rishonim. It's like in the 19th century. So you have all these contemporary discussions then about what was going on in the Shulchan Aruch. Kol Ish is chayav to write a Sefer Torah. Ayin tshuvas beis Ephraim. L'inyan ksiva Sefer Torah b'shutfus. Can you jointly write a Sefer Torah? Em yotzni dechavasan. The background for this is that we say for an esrog that you can't have an esrog that's owned jointly because you need lachem, you need full ownership. Partnership is not sufficient to constitute full ownership. So therefore, maybe for a Sefer Torah, it's not enough to have shutfus. Okay? He points out also, some Rishonim have this trick for esrog, that you have this agreement that when people collectively own an esrog, you all agree that the person who's using it at that moment, he's considered to be the owner. Okay, so I take the esrog, it's my esrog now. I hand it over to Billy now. It's his Zestorg, and so on and so on. So everybody in the community could be Yotzei with Lachem at the moment when they're holding it. So why don't we say the same thing for Sefer Torah? Right? We jointly write a Sefer Torah. Everybody in the community pitches in. Whoever's using the Sefer Torah at that moment, he's considered to be the owner. So you could see here, for example, the Pischei Tshuva points out, okay, second line, Vayin b'sefer partis David meharav David dishbik, Pashis kiseitze shagam huzal nestapik bezet, d'dimon be'inan kulo mishalachem lehotzi shutfus, kimod isa gabi esrog, parentheses, v'af divaor achayim, simin, tafresh nun ches, behaga kasta v'davka shalo karno letzorach mitzvah. Even over there, we say that you could do this trick where if you bought it for the purpose of the mitzvah, it's assumed that you're giving it to the person who's using it at that time. Shiny hasam the kol echad eino tzarech lo rak be'es nitilaso latzeis bo. Mash enkein hacha the kol echad tzarech shiyelo sefer Torah shelo bechol es uvechol shah. What's he saying?
Everybody can. The esrog trick doesn't work.
Why not?
Because it's a permanent obligation,
The esrog is immediate.
Exactly. The esrog, you just need it at the moment that you're using it. But the Sefer Torah, the mitzvah is that it should be his at all moments and at all times. Okay? Upashin, he says, this is obvious. And then the Pischei Tshuva adds in, V'teima me'od ala minago olam, depashit hu be'enei kol b'chevros, all the chevros, all the groups, shekosim Sefer Torah b'shutfes kol echad yotzei bo. I understand, everyone, you know, you get these things, they're soliciting to write a Sefer Torah for the school, and everybody pitches in. He says, it's a tema because you're not Yotzei B'Shutfus, and this esrog trick doesn't work because you need it to be always yours and constantly yours. Okay? This is the Chiddush of the Pischei Tshuva. Okay, this is a very strong concept. You need constant ownership over the, not just ownership, but constant ownership.
So when they have those Sefer writing ceremonies where you pay for a letter, you pay for nothing.
So he's saying that. Yeah, maybe you're giving stuck over there, but in terms of he thinks that according to this, that you're not Yotzei B'Shutfus. If it's a partnership, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. What? Not the mitzvah. It's still a good thing, right?
Even the invitation say fulfill the mitzvah, right?
Okay. So not everybody agrees with this Pischei Tshuva.
That said, if you write one letter, you're okay.
The Gemara said that.
The Gemara said that.
But we'll see. The Achronim all have qualifications on. Maybe that's only if it's yours and you own it, and you own it entirely, and you're not writing it, then you have to write one letter. Some people say that. There's no source in the Gemara. Okay. Yeah, so we'll suggest that Simchas Torah comes from the Melech, but we'll see this in 1 minute. Okay. The only source I can think of is either you just construe Lachem as constant ownership, which is not intuitive, because for an Esrog, we know it's only when you actually use it, or you learn it out from the Melech. Or like the Chassidish Rebbe's have a Sefer Torah with them constantly.
But see, okay. It's like you're supposed to have it. It has to belong to one person, and he can't even use it at certain times according to certain positions.
It's not to be used. Oh yeah. I think you're making an excellent point here that this seems to run contrary to the Chiddush of the Prisha, that you're not supposed to use your Sefer Torah at all. Right. Like it's almost absurd to hold that you have to have ownership constantly over your Sefer Torah, and there's an Isser to be mezalza with its kedusha to take it out and read from it.
That's like taking your mezuzah and opening it up and learning a little chumash out of it.
But the point is, Sefer Torah is not a mezuzah.
I know,
it's not.
So, okay.
Right, so it's meant to be. Clearly, it's meant to be used if there's an obligation that it should be constantly yours.
You wouldn't do it to a mezuzah.
You wouldn't do it to a mezuzah. Right, so obviously, Sefer Torah is more than a mezuzah here. Because I think it's a good point. This already runs contrary to that chiddush of the prisha. Okay. You can also see the Minchas Chinuch in Tafresh Yud Gimel just adds in an extra consideration here. He says, "V'hinei top of page 5, v'hinei b'tshuvas achronim chakru im yotzim mitzvah zu b'shutfis kiven dechsiv lachem habikalula v'chulei v'ani as daid v'impusak atzmo ein anach nicholim lomot klal." Right, he's with you, with Dr. Shulman. Right, you can't learn anything straight out from a pasuk that you need to have it that it excludes partnership. V'gam itaymi am mitzvos kemosha kasav kama pirushim. So even if you want to get into the reason of a Sefer Torah, it's hard to learn out a halacha from the rationale. And we pilpul hashas le'inyan shutvis, v'zeh ena muva klal, it's not spoken about in the Gemara. V'chol advarim she'ena nachni yodim mimakabli ha-Torah bali hashas, ena nachni cholam lifsok. Unless we have a tradition on a halacha, you can't just create it on your own. So he's upset at everybody who's weighing in that you're not yotzei through a partnership. Rak mitzad ha-svar, afshar lomar de'ena yotzei b'shutvis. But then he weighs in himself, And he says, by the way, I don't think you're Yotzei Shatvus, because then all of Bnei Yisrael could fulfill the mitzvah through writing one Sefer Torah and then you're done. And clearly that can't be. Okay? I don't think it's the strongest argument. Okay, just because you could be Yotzei this way doesn't mean... Like, imagine if we were retrojecting back on the European communities. If a community could own a state, one Lulav and Esrog, it's inconceivable that nobody would have to buy Lulav and Esrog, right? So obviously everybody has to have their own. But in Europe, they were Yotzei the mitzvah, so the community owning one for the entire place. Okay, so it's hard to retroject this kind of story. But the Menachas Kindach also is skeptical about partnership. Okay. So this is about the ownership that you're supposed to have on a Sefer Torah. The Maharal Prague, okay, also weighs in on this question, and he says in his commentary on the tour, this is the second source on page 5, Osam Shakosim Lam Sefer Torah Makdishin Oso, those people who write a Sefer Torah and then give it over to the shul, right, little they're makdish it, they give it to the Beis HaKnesses, Lo Yatsu Yudei Chovasan, they don't fulfill their chiyuv, okay, it's as if they're pushing the mitzvah out of their rishus. Right? It's like selling your Sefer Torah. Rak yitznu lebeis haknesses v'tishayer bershusa. Okay, it seems like advocating some sort of condition where you give it over to the shul, but you retain ownership. That's what people do, right? That's what you did also for your Sefer Torah? So it's on loan to the shul, right? And you actually write a shtar. Oh, very nice. And it says that you retain ownership and you're just giving it to the shul to borrow.
It's interesting that you cover the insurance.
That's probably why they do it. So you cover the insurance. And,
The shul actually pays the insurance.
Oh.
But if there's wear and tear and you have to have a self-repair.
First of all, you have to make sure that you have the same deal about who's covering the insurance. And
then you have to pay the, I guess,
it's part of showing that it's. And you could take it out of the shul probably whenever you want. Okay, so that's because it's Maharal Prague, that he's concerned that if you give away your Sefer Torah, you lose the mitzvah of writing it. Okay, you have to have ownership of your Sefer Torah constantly.
If you own a Sefer Torah and you give it on to shul, but eventually after a few years you die, who owns the Sefer Torah?
You're machaving to a question of the Marit, a contemporary of the Beis Yosef, and he has exactly this question, which is on the bottom of page 5, which we'll get to in a minute. Okay?
Why would it be a question? If I own something, my Yorshim
happened. What?
It's my Sefer Torah, my Yorshim get it. Why would I ever think that someone else it would go to
that? We had a whole thing about the question.
So we'll see in a second.
But we also said
the Yorshim don't get it.
Okay, that's what the Marit, that's part of the Marit's consideration.
Right.
We'll see.
They would own it, but they don't get
the mitzvah, correct.
That bylaws.
So we'll see. We'll see that in a moment. Now look here, this is raised by the Maharal Prague. I think the Maharal is, what do we say, 16th century the Maharal is in Central Europe in Prague. So the Maharal here, again, has a suggestion. You retain ownership. The Pischei Tshuva in Yerideh Simen Reish Ayin, again, he follows up on this. Ayin B'Sefer Torah S'chaim B'Sanhedrin Daf Chof Aleph is the middle of page 5. V'Nira Diyachar HaKosev Sefer Torah La'atzmo V'Nasna L'Beis HaKnesses Likros Ba B'Tzibor Maktisha Lav Shapir Avid T'kivan Shemaktisha Harei Shal Hektish V'Lav Shalohi V'Eino Yotze Ba'Yidei Chavasa. Okay, so he has the same point. You're not Yotzei Yochi if you're Makdish at the Beis HaKnesses. V'leka L'meimar D'viksiva L'chud Tal Yamilsa. Don't tell me all you have to do is write the Sefer Torah. Ze'eino. T'yachit Shekosav Sefer Torah La'atzmo V'Achar Kach Ne'evda. If you wrote a Sefer Torah and you lost it, Pshita Shetzarech Lichtov Lo Sefer Torah Acheres. V'lachin Nirash Ein L'Hakdish Sefer Torah Ela Imkein Kosev La'atzmo Acheres. Okay, so just like losing your Sefer Torah undermines your mitzvah, you have to write a new one. So too, if you give it over to the shul, you have to write yourself a new one.
So
he doesn't have this chiddush of the maral that you could have this condition.
Seem to be saying that not only is the mitzvah is it a two-part mitzvah or is it a one-part mitzvah?
Okay.
I have to write it, and I also have to continuously own it. So those two separate...
So you see here, it's tricky, right? According to the Rush, you don't even have to write it. Right. You just have to have things to learn from. We didn't get to the mitzvah of writing it yet. I'm putting that on pause for a few minutes. We're going to come back to it. Here you see that there's a mitzvah of retaining ownership. Or lachem, constantly and always. Okay? And if you talk about there's a mitzvah of ksiva, which he already raises, it's not sufficient to just write it. Obviously, you have to retain it for some time. Okay.
So are they looking at that as like one mitzvah with two parts to
it? Yeah, I think they see it as one mitzvah with several conditions that have to be fulfilled.
Again, Rabbi, I'm sorry if I missed it. Are you able to write it, or you have to write it?
Okay, so we're going to get to that. We'll get to that at the end. Okay.
I learned that from 15 years of doctrine.
Shluch HaShalom, Shluch HaShalom Kemosa.
Two words we learned.
Okay.
The first source's suggestion is that it's preferable to write it and put it in Aron in your house and retain ownership than to
give it to your shul
where it's going to be used for the public good.
Absolutely.
On a three-time-a-week basis.
Yes. Okay, so what do you say of that?
It's a challenging concept.
Okay, so we have to try to explain what this sheet does. Respond.
I get that, but the first source seems to suggest that it's misguided to give it to the shul.
Yeah.
Keep it in your.
And look here. Look, continue in the Pisgei Tshuva.
But it gets to the root of what the mitzvah is really about.
Ah. Absolutely. I think that's what we're coming to here. Is the mitzvah is not, we think of, okay, we'll come back to that explanation in 1 second. Remind me after we finish this next section. So here you see a lot of achronim who are against the idea of being makdish to the Beis HaKnesses, because you have to have ownership. Okay, now here on the bottom of page 5, we're going to introduce a new concept, which means in addition to this notion of ownership, or quite independent of this notion of ownership, you have to have your Sefer Torah and your Rishus. Okay, so this goes in both ways. I mean, you could have a condition that has to remain in your Rishus even if you don't own it. Okay? I mean, so it might be somebody else's, you might be makdish to the Beis HaKnesses, but it still has to be in your proximity if you want to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. Okay, so you don't have ownership as a condition, but you have proximity as a condition even though it's not yours. Yeah. It's one of the same thing. Right, in halacha we always say that there's a difference between shiloh and bershuso. Like with the classic cases, we say gezel velon yishua bailim. If somebody steals an object and the owner did not yet give up hope of retrieving it, shnehem einim yicholim lakdisho. Neither of the parties could be makneh to somebody else. Zed de'eino shiloh v'zed de'eino bershuso. So the owner can't give it away because it's not in his possession, and the ganav can't give it away because it's not his. Right, so those are that's the thanks for reminding me of the concept. Good. Okay, we're going to get to new stuff also. So, on the bottom of page 5, the Marit here in Yeridea, Simen Hei. Marit is also around the contemporary of the Beis Yosef. He grew up in Svat, and then he actually went to Istanbul, to Kushta, to become the Rav there. And I think he might have died in Turkey. The Marit here writes, V'sheshoal od Sefer Torah she'ekdishu b'aylov b'loshen hazeh. Somebody was makdish a Sefer Torah with this formulation, and he makdish Sefer Torah zel menashim elech mi'ha'ir azos in besi she'yili rishus leholicho imi lechol makom she'elech. So a person gives his Sefer Torah over to Avas Torah. Okay, this again is a 16th century tshuva. I makdish the Beis HaKnesses to Avas Torah on condition that if I move to the city, I can take my Sefer Torah with me. Yachrika chalach v'kava dirasa b'ir acheres. He moved to Manhattan. V'holich Sefer Torah imo, umeis sham. He moved to the city, died in the city. This whole article in the New York Times today about people who die in their apartments in the city by themselves, right? So this is a story here. A person died by, in the city, left his Sefer Torah in the shul. V'chada migo chada kami ba'ilei. Lemar chada im nishar z'chus l'yarshav acharav l'holicha l'makam sheyirtzu. This is exactly your question. Do his heirs have the right to take the Sefer Torah out of the shul where it was last found, and to take it with them to wherever they daven? Or maybe this condition was exclusively for the owner himself, the father himself, who donated the Sefer Torah. Okay? Does everybody have the tshuva? Is that clear?
So it's not clear it goes to the yersh?
It's not. That's what it seems, right?
Well, what if he doesn't have any?
And this is what, who asked the question? Mitch said, right? What do you mean? Of course it should go to the yarshim. And Dr. Shulman said, wait a second. Maybe they're not, if they're not mekayim their mitzvah, maybe it's, maybe there's no reason for the Sefer Torah to go to the yarshim. Okay. Yeah. Yes, you see, this shows you that you don't frequent the shurim enough that I don't even feel comfortable calling you by. So here he writes on the top of page 6 the answer. Odiyesh l'estapik benidon didon she'im la'atzmo lo shir begufa sefer Torah le'mitzvas kriya bilvad mi'amrinon d'chi kapit adidei dafka Mishum mitzvah didei shechayiv lios lo sefer Torah la'atzmo. Okay, he says maybe when he made this condition, he really made the condition thinking that he wants to fulfill his mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. And since you only fulfill the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah if your sefer Torah is with you, if it follows you. Again, second line. Mishum mitzvah didei shechayiv lios lo sefer Torah la'atzmo. You have to have a sefer Torah for yourself. Okay, so let's say if you left your Sefer Torah in Englewood when you moved to the city, so the fact that your Sefer Torah is in a different town that you're in, that means you're not Mekayim the mitzvah.
Well, mitzvah Mekayim, is this continuous for your whole life? I wrote
it. Sounds like you have a new
chiyuv. I loaned it to Avos Torah, it says in Avos Torah. I moved to Manhattan and
according to this Marit, you're not Yotze your mitzvah if you leave the town of your Sefer Torah. It has to be in your proximity.
So you're saying that this guy's saying
it's a condition. A
continuous mitzvah till the day you die.
So let's seems see. Like it.
Otherwise, you didn't Mekayim it.
Or that you at least have a chiyuv to write a new one. Right. You have a chiyuv constantly to have a Sefer Torah.
So
that means also not just to own it, but that it's in proximity within the same city that you're in.
So all these people have summer homes in the Hamptons and certain communities. They should have a Sefer Torah.
They have a chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah in the Hamptons too, right? So again, we'd have to hammer out the details, but at least in terms of the spirit of what he's saying that if you move permanently, you have to take your sofer with you. You could ask the question about if you're going on vacation also, what you have to do. Okay. But here we have a chiddush that there's a halacha that the Sefer Torah has to be in proximity. Okay. Again, ve'im yanichenu ve'yetzil ir acheres lo mekayim mitzvah b'hachi. L'chein hisne l'holicho imo. Aval b'no she'enu yotzei b'shel aviv. K'namin imperek baso de Sanhedrin. But a child who doesn't fulfill the mitzvah with his father's Sefer Torah. Afal pishe nicholo l'adam Sefer Torah. Mitzvah lichto mishelo. V'yata kisvu lachem. Hilkach lo kapit she'lichenu b'no imo. So if you say that his condition was in order so that he fulfills the mitzvah, so obviously only he's allowed to move the Sefer Torah around with him, because that's a condition in his fulfillment of the mitzvah. But his kids, who aren't yotzei the mitzvah with their father's Sefer Torah, so there's no condition that they're allowed to move the Sefer Torah from this town. Right? So they don't even inherit the actual Sefer. The Sefer Torah stays with the shul where the father died. Okay? It's an interesting psak of the Ma'arit.
And all the fruitfulness of the Sefer Torah?
What?
Probably needed the Sefer Torah.
Who, the kid?
He's no Be'er Badova.
Oh, the Ma'arit? I don't know about
how
that.
How about the accoutrements, the keter and the yad and all that stuff?
That's a good question. That's good, whether they go along with the Sefer Torah.
What about for war? When they would go to war, did they bring a Sefer Torah with them?
Yeah. It seems like the Melech had when the Melech would lead the war, he would go out with Sefer Torah.
Is the Melech going to go there and he wouldn't bring Sefer
Torah? They brought the Aron. In the time when they had the Aron, they brought the Aron. Yeah. But I don't know if, Bizman is there, people go out to Muhammad, they take a Sefer Torah with them. I'm not sure. So here, look in. So this reinforces the idea of having it in your possession. The Ber Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan Spector, he's the Posek in Kovna in the early 20th century. Early 20th century, late 19th century. YU, the Smicha program, is named after Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. I always thought when I was younger that somebody, Yitzchak Chanan gave a lot of money to YU. Yeah. Turns out that it was Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan Spector who died when they started the yeshiva. Probably the only school that's named after a rav who died for them. So Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan here writes in Siman Yates, if a Sefer Torah is stolen, okay, kivan dinignava ve'ena bershusa, belav hachi einim yotzim. Okay, if a Sefer Torah is stolen and it's not found in the possession of the owner, so you're not yotze the mitzvah. Kimo b'chametz tichsiv lo yira elecha, just like chametz, where we say you shouldn't have chametz lecha. The kasu achornim dimnigzal chametz la'echad eino over hanigzal ba yira. Right, if somebody stole chametz from your rishus, right, so you don't violate ba'yira ba'yimatza, even though you own it. Right, Torah doesn't hold you responsible because lecha, it has to be in your possession. Uba'yidi hei birshuso. Hu adin b'sefer Torah dechsiv kisvu lachem, b'ina nami dehei birshuso. You need the sefer Torah to be in your actual possession. Emkein achshav dinignava eina mekayim in mitzvah. So Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan also has a suggestion that it's not enough to have ownership, right? Because in the case where it's stolen before you give up, you still own it. But you also need it to be actual in your rishus. Okay? Yor Sameach, or Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, in his parish in the Ram, here also has this idea. Halo em Yovad Sefer Torah, the underlined section. O Yisrachku Shelo Yuchla L'Shmoa Vada Eino Yotze. Okay, if your Sefer Torah is separated from you to the extent that if somebody is reading from it, that you won't be able to hear their Kriya, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. Okay, so
that's the Hamptons.
That's the Hamptons, right? So it's not just that you have to live in the same city as your Sefer Torah. Not just that it has to be in your possession, it has to be within your possession to the extent that if somebody's reading from it, then you would be able to hear his kriya. Okay? So clearly there's an emphasis here on possession, constantly having your Sefer Torah with you. The Minchas Chinuch, I'll point out, also has this idea. This is what Billy was asking. If you hold the mitzvah as just writing it, then you have a mitzvah just to write a Sefer Torah once in your life. There's reason makdimin. Okay, so maybe there's a issue of trying to do it as early as possible because the general concept is reason makdimin the mitzvahs. The im meis velo ki im mitzvah zu, bitel mitzvah sase. Achim haya besof beonis, efshar ein alav onesh, etc., etc. So just have to do it once in your life. Make sure you get it in before you pass away. Achim nomar sha mitzvah sheyielo, imkein b'chol rega she'ein lo mevatel mitzvah sase. Every moment that you don't have a Sefer Torah, mevatel the mitzvah sase. Ve'ino mo'il achar kach masha mekayim lahaba ala avar. And if you have to write a Sefer Torah when you're 90, it doesn't help you for all the years that you didn't have the Sefer Torah. Okay, so because if the mitzvah is just to write it, do it once in your life. If the mitzvah is to have it, then you have to write a Sefer Torah as soon as you're a bar mitzvah. Okay, kivuchal reg imkain takef beagil lechal mitzvos mechuyah b'mitzvah v'lo reinu nizharim b'zeh. Okay, so right when you turn bar mitzvah, you have a chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah. Right? We have to speak to your dad. Right when you write a bar mitzvah, you have a chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah. It's not enough just to know the laning. Okay. As in the Minchas Chinuch. Thank you, Tom. The Sefer HaBatim, maybe as a nice explanation, Sefer HaBatim, I said, is around the same generation as the Rambam. He has a nice explanation for this concept. The Kavanas Mitzvah Zu Mevuerash, Yi Atzricha L'Shleimas Adam, writing a Sefer Torah is part of the perfection of man, Ki Ein Uman El Imkein Kli Umanusa Biyada. Right? Someone's only considered a professional, an artisan, if he has his tools with him. Right? So this is the Mitzvah of the Sefer Torah. Always have your Sefer Torah with you. Now, I'd point out that the source for this seems to come from the Melech, right? The Melech, we say, that he has to have his Sefer Torah with him. Here on the top of page 7. V'haya k'shivto ha'kisei mamlachto, v'kosav lo'as mishna ha'torah zos ha'sefer milifnei ha'kohanim ha'leviyim. V'haysa imo, Sefer Torah should be with him. V'karabo kol yimei chayav, he should read from his Sefer Torah all of his life, l'man yilmad li'iras Hashem, etc. Okay, so for the Melech, the halacha is, he has to have his Sefer Torah with him, all the time, so that he should inculcate the fear of God into him. L'man yilmad liyiras Hashem alokav. The Ibn Ezra points out, v'haysa imo ha-Torah, v'kara bo ba-sefer, liyira hu ba-atzma, and that he himself should become a God-fearing person. The Rambam here writes, ha-mitzvah ha-yud-zayin, 17th mitzvah is that the melech should have a Sefer Torah, lo yipared mimenu, and the Sefer Torah should never leave him, should never be separated from him ever. Sefer HaChinuch explains, what's the purpose of this mitzvah? Okay, why does the Melech have an obligation not only to write a Sefer Torah, but to have it with him all the time? L'fisha ha-Melech b'rshus atzmo, lo yatzivehu adam ha-maisa v'lo yigara. No one's going to give the king any mussar about what he does. U'v'shevet piv yake arzo, with his whip he could rule his land. U'v'ruach svasav yamis misha yirtza b'chol amo, and he could kill somebody with the utterance of his lips. Ha'kein be'emes tzarech shmira gedola. You need a lot of protection for the king. The Zichron Tov Yamo Negno, a constant reminder always in front of him. Yabid Elov Tamid, always staring back at him in the face. Laman Yichvosh Es Yitzro V'Yite Libo El Yotzro. So that the king should conquer his own arrogance and he should be focused on his creator. V'zeu Shamu Zichron Lebracha Yotzi L'Mochama Sefer Torah Imo. The king goes out to battle with Sefer Torah with him. Yoshev Bidin V'Hu Imo Mesav Lechel V'Hu Kenegdo Kal Advarim Shelo Hayazaz Mineged Einav Ela Be'esho Nitzrach L'Nekavav. Oh, Nichas Lamercha. Sefer Torah wouldn't leave his sight, except for when he went to the bathroom and when he took a shower.
Do we have record of that with the, Shaul, David?
I don't know if we have stories of their Sefer Torah being with them. The Rishonim, you can read into the Pasuk of Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, which the Gemara already has, that's referring to the Sefer Torah of the Melech, which is always in front of his eyes.
Wasn't it one found by Yoshiyahu, one of those kings, found a Sefer Torah?
There's one, they went back into the Heichal and they found a Sefer Torah there. Yeah. So this concept of the constancy of the Sefer Torah is really derived from the Melech. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, I said, okay, has this coming from the source of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. It's actually an interesting machlokas in the Gemara, what does Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid refer to? Okay, how do we classically interpret this concept? God's presence. What does it mean? Shivisi is like, I wouldn't say it's reflexive, but it's something that you have to do. Right? You place him. Shivisi Hashem. I'll place God before me constantly. But it's interesting. Where do you always see the sign? Shivisi Hashem. Top of the Aron Kodesh. Okay, now this is, I think, a very a very convenient ambiguity. Because the Gemara says that either Shivisa Hashem and Negdi Sam, and here you can see it on, look at it inside, you can see it here on the bottom of page 7. Elamani Mekayim is Mishnah Torah Zos, Lishte Toros, right? The king has to have two Torahs, bottom of page 7. Osa sheyotzeis v'nechneses imo. That's the for Torah which goes and comes with him. Osa also kamin kamiya v'tola bezrosh nemar shivisa shem negdislam. He makes like a small amulet. It's wrapped around his arm, just like he places God's presence before him always. The idach, that other view, the one who holds that a king didn't have to have it with him always. Don't worry about that for now. Hai shivisi my darish. What does he do with this pasuk? Hami ba'ile dam rav chana bar bizna rav shimon bar chasida hamispalo tzarech sheyira atzmo ki ilu shchina kenegda. Okay, so either it means that when you're davening, you should think as if the Shekhinah is in front of you, or it means that you should have a Sefer Torah in front of you constantly. Right? So we place this on the Aron when we're davening. There's a convenient ambiguity here, right? Is that because it's a reminder for when we're davening and we're staring at the Aron that we should have the Shekhinah in front of us? Or is it because we think that Shivisa Hashem refers to the actual Sefer Torah, which is staring us back in the face?
Because
right?
We kill two birds with one stone?
Oh, so I would say even a little sharper than killing two birds with one stone, that I think I spoke about this once in the Hashkama Minyan, that there's this whole discussion, which way do you stand when you're right. When you're davening if the Aron is not facing the way of Yushalayim. So Rashi seems to say that you face the Aron. Right? And I think I was trying to explain that. The Kedusha, the Beis HaKnesses, really stems from the Sifrei Torah that are in front of it. It's very poignant. I spoke about this then, and then when I was in... Kimitzion Teisei Torah versus the Aron, the Sifrei Torah in front of you. So the Kedusha, the Beis HaKnesses itself stems from the Sifrei Torah. I only really appreciated this when I was in we were in Istanbul, and I'm not sure if I should have done this, but we went into some mosques there. A lot of Rishonim say it's fine to go into mosques because it's not a base of Avodah Zarah. I think they're beautifully crafted, and they're.
Did you take your shoes off?
Well, you have to, or else they'll kill you.
Sorry.
And it's very striking. It's very beautiful, and there's like a lot of solemnity there. But it's different from a shul in that there's no like Sifrei Torah in the front of the building. It's just a building. The people are there and they're davening. And our shuls almost, you have like the Sefer Torah in front, which like adds at a level of like this is where the Kedusha of the whole place stems from. This is what makes it happen, right? This is what the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses is. So then I appreciated more that we have this difference of the Sefer Torah. So then I was trying.
They all face different directions.
I know they have different directions.
No, I daven on YU. I daven on YU once a week in one of the base measures.
And there's everyone's davening
no
in different directions.
No one faces the right. Aron.
But there's a Rashi who says that you should face the Aron. So you might say Shivisa Hashem Negdi Sam, that we combine these 2 days in the Gemara, right? We focus our tefillah, we direct where the Shekhinah is from the Sifrei Torah in the front of the shul, because that's the basis of the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses for which we're in which we're davening. Okay. Now, let me just. What? Yeah, but there's like a special kedushas. Yeah, from the VBM, right? That's what he says. Okay, so let me add a few more haros. We have a few more minutes here. Is anybody anybody rushing out that have to?
I think they did.
Okay, anybody? Okay, there's
a wedding today at 4 o'clock, and some of us have to get our hair done.
4 o'clock, you said? And let me just point out another machlokas. Here's a debate where the melech had a Sefer Torah. The Gemara seems to say he had it wrapped around his arm, like a small amulet. The Rambam doesn't quote this. The Ran in Sanhedrin, on top of page 8, suggests that he always had somebody carrying around the real Sefer Torah in front of him. So it wasn't the melech who had it wrapped there.
It's like the Secret Service, they follow Obama with the codes.
Yeah, exactly. So they're carrying the Sefer Torah there. It's good. It's better now. I was going to say the caddy, but I think yours captures the Kedusha Sefer Torah more. Okay, so you have a bit of machlokas whether he had it himself. And Mitch, you pointed out the connection to tefillin. There's a Pirush al Torah by Victor Tzarfati, one of the end of the Balei HaTosos in France. And he says that there's a pasuk in Shir Shirim of Kechosem Alibecha. Right, it's like a seal on your heart. He says some people say this refers to the Sefer Torah of the Melech. Some people say it refers to tefillin. There's almost like a confusion in some of these psukim even whether it's referring to this Sefer Torah of the Melech. Okay.
You gave us a shir once on tefillin, right? You're really supposed to be wearing your tefillin all the time. I don't know what the nafkamina is here. What is it that's different with the Sefer? I mean, at least I think where you're headed is that the Sefer Torah is supposed to remind you of the Shekhinah all the time. It should be always with you, and it's a personal thing. And it should, and that the, so what's the nafkamina between your tefillin
and your Sefer Torah? Okay, but you notice the parallels here between what we were discussing earlier and what you're raising now. Just like by tefillin, right? The mitzvah is always to have your tefillin constantly. Right? And we're yotzei with just putting it on shacharis, right? We do like for a few minutes a day.
It's what it does to you.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's a connection to that dimension of it, but I would say, is that. Now let me make this point in 1 minute. Let me get to two more sources, then I'll make this point.
And also this kedusha that we're talking about, carrying your Sefer Torah around. If you wrote your Sefer Torah and you never looked at it, you never even opened it up, it's the kedusha is having the scroll
in front of you.
It's the icon, or I don't know what word to use.
Right.
It's your personal shechinah because it's incorporated in some sort of.
Yeah, you might say it just like for the melech, the chi of the Sefer Torah is that he's always has the kedusha of the Sefer Torah in front of him. He's subjugated to it, to its presence. So too for all B'nai Yisrael. Yeah, there's the mitzvah is not to facilitate the ma'isa of limud. It's not so that you're in order to study, but the mitzvah is dafka to write a kedusha Sefer Torah. It can't be yotzei b'shar chumashim, because the mitzvah is like to constantly have shivisi Hashem benegdi samid, that you're standing there with kovid rosh in the presence of a Sefer Torah.
I would
just say the parallel to tefillin is that we have this attitude of like kedusha is always something that has to be, kedusha is separateness, right? It's like distinct from the normal daily affairs.
Right.
So we say tefillin, the mitzvah in the Gemara is to wear tefillin all day, right. And we say no, tefillin bizman hazeh, it's too kadosh, right? We can't wear tefillin all day, right. Only b'shas tefillah. Okay, we do the same thing with Sefer Torah. It seems over here the mitzvah is Shivisa Hashem Negdi Samid, to have a Sefer Torah in your home, right, with you constantly, subject yourself to its presence. And we outsource, say, it's for the Beis HaKnesses. When we go to shul
that's
davening. And
you were saying that the pre-Chodesh said about the sitting there learning from the Sefer Torah.
Oh. Yeah, so you might say, and I'll come back to that at the end. Okay, so I think here this is a second theme in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. It's not just to facilitate the limud, but it's actually to have it with you in the presence of the sanctity of the Sefer. Yeah, so it seems this is a question. I think that Sfarim definitely don't. It's clear that Sfarim don't have the kedusha of a Sefer Torah. Definitely not on the same level. It's not clear to what extent they have kedusha at all.
They may have some impact on you.
So you would say that we're Mekayim this according to the Rush with those Sfarim that are in your library. But still, it doesn't have Kedusha. I'll give you an example. Some Rishonim say that the way you know that you have to write the entire Sefer Torah from Shira Zos is that it's so clear that you have to create a Kedusha Sefer Torah, and the only way to create that Kedusha Sefer Torah is if you write the entire Sefer Torah with the Shira. So they're focusing on this notion of Kedusha. Here, so we could turn now to page 9. I want to make one more point. We say that a chassan is dom el melech, right? Chassan dom el melech, right? It's shkura b'pinu. So what's the connection?
What's the question?
Chassan dom el melech. So do you remember last year I spoke about a concept called shoshvinin? Right, the shoshvinin are
they
pay for the simcha, right? They're like the groomsmen, right? They're always there.
Entourage.
They're the good friend, the entourage, okay? So there's a very interesting position here in the Rishonim on page 8. This is from Rabbi Yochanan bar Aaron Luria. Okay, so he lived in the 15th century in Alsace-Lorraine and the French-German border. And he just says, a chassan domel melech, says there's a halacha that the chassan, does everybody see in the middle of page 8? V'yesh raya sheh chassan dinan, chayiv lahamid darshan, v'yeh talmid chachamim shoshvinav. Okay, you should always have scholars who are the groomsmen of the chassan. Ki chassan kimo melech holech barosh. Right, the chassan is always in front. He sits. He begins. We give him covered like a melech. Fine. In the second paragraph, which is underlined, me'asher chassan dom lemelech, melech chayv laholech sefer Torah imo. He meets a mochama sefer Torah imo. Ochel mesav sefer Torah imo. And v'atam shelo yivor lev hamelech v'lo yazuach daito ala migodo ma'laso. So he shouldn't become too arrogant. And when he has a Sefer Torah with him, he's a Yiras Hashem neged panav, lo yechta, right? You won't sin when you have the fear of God in front of you. Kemo chein achasan, You shoshvina tamid chachamim sheyu tamid mesavin also veis haknasas besuda berikud. He says they can't have a physical seat. They don't have a physical sefer Torah at the wedding, but you should have like learned scholars standing in front of the chasan to always remind him of the presence of the shechina while he's in the state of simcha. What?
He can sell it to become a chasan.
I mean, sell his friends?
No. Can we learn you can sell
Yeah, you can sell a sefer Torah to become a chasan if you can't do it otherwise. But here he's just saying that because we say chasan dom lamelech, he has to have a sefer Torah ki'ilu in his presence at the wedding. Because the chasan, it's easy for him to become arrogant. He's the head of the party, right? Maybe he can become frivolous. So you have two people there like sefer Torah.
You should have Sanhedrin walking around.
Well, it's kind of a mitzvah thing. You had, like the Ron says, you have the sefer Torah standing there on both sides. But I noticed something is if you look at the old pictures of Bibi's office, you see he has like law codes in his act. If you look at new pictures, you'll see he has like a Shulchan Aruch in the back and a Shas. That. You see that?
Yeah.
I noticed that also.
In his credenza.
Whenever they have official pictures, he has like the star in
his
star.
That's because he had to get elected.
to get now that he has those parties in the cabinet.
Shas to come in.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm getting at. Right. Part of the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is that you hold yourself to the standard of conduct in the presence of a Sefer. Look here at the Rambam. This is exactly what I wanted to mention. Bottom of page 8. Mitzvah liyached l'sefer Torah makom ulechabdo ulehadro yosher midai. The mitzvah is to designate a place for the Sefer Torah and to honor it. Devarim shebeluchos abris ein hein shebechol sefer Torah lo yaruk adam keneged sefer Torah lo yigal ervaso kenegdo lo yafshit raglav kenegdo lo yanichenu al rosho kimasoi. Can't spit in front of it, you can't undress in front of it, but you always have to be with a certain level of
and the mitzvah
dafka is
Yeah.
Well, the mitzvah dafka is to hold yourself to that standard. That's the shivisi Hashem
and
Negri
Samen.
Look here again on page 9. This is the next halacha in the Rambam. Let's look at the second line of the first source. The end of the second line. Kol mi sheyoshev lefnei sefer Torah, yeshe bekoved rosh, be'ema ufachad. Right, you're with fear and trembling. Shehu ha'ed hanem on lechol bay olam. This is how the Rambam ends off Hilchos Sefer Torah. So that's exactly the point. That's what the Prisha said. The Prisha said it can't be Vizmana because why have a Sefer Torah? Why take the risk? But it seems like the whole thrust here is exactly to the contrary. Right? If Shivisa Hashem Negdi Summit is to have it in your house and to maintain that level of COVID and Ema. That's the argument against the Prisha. Okay? You can see here in the parentheses I wrote Mamish Neged Prisha. In the sheet. Okay. Maybe just to add in a little bit of a support to this idea, the Chikrei Leib points out a lot of people have the minhag to have a sofer write most of the Sefer Torah. The sofer would leave out the Beis of Bereshis in the beginning and the Lamed of Enei Kol Yisrael at the end, and the owner would fill those in. Why? He says, because the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah is not to write it, but to create the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. So Kol Zman, that the Sefer Torah is missing those two letters, doesn't have the Kedusha. So if you say the mitzvah is to create the Kedusha and to sit Be'ema in front of the Sefer Torah, it makes sense that that's the final point where the owner has to do to create the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. Okay? Okay, now... What? He says that people have this. Yeah, it may have to be written Keseder. I think by Sefer Torah we allow you to go back and fix it, not for Tefillin. But he says that people have this minhag. He's saying, where does this minhag come from? Why do they do that? And he says exactly this idea. You have to create the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah.
So if you, I got involved in this organization, Panim Lepanim, where they rehabilitate Apostles Sefer Torah, and for the Israeli army. So
that's magia. Kol magia os achas ki ilu kasva.
So is that?
So we'll say. I want if we have time. If anybody has to leave again, please leave. I'll take another 10 minutes to finish up. I don't want to hold anybody here against their will. So I'm gonna do it for 10 more minutes. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Beis, the source of the Sefer Torah, seems to introduce a third theme in the midst of Sefer Torah. Okay, our first two themes is the limud that you should learn. Our second theme is the Kedusha, that you should be in the presence of the Sefer Torah, and that explains why it should be with you constantly. The third theme seems to be that of a personalized Sefer Torah. Okay, that it's not just a template for writing a Sefer Torah, but that there's a chiyuv, a maila, the Sefer Torah be personalized to its owner. This seems to come from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Kosei lo Sefer Torah lishmo. Okay, you have to write a Sefer Torah lishma, for the owner who's going to be mekayim the mitzvah. The Ramban in his Melchamos in Sukkah Daf Dalim and Beis has a cryptic lashon, cryptic formulation. He says, Ha'inin hazem is yashiv yafem in atam shepirashti lamala. Devetfilinu mezuzos lo miyater behu kra lichtov lishma. There's no din that a sefer that a mezuzah or tefillin have to be written for their owner. The ilu b'sefer Torah k'siv kisvu lachem v'hainu l'shem chovasvem. Special halacha that the sefer Torah has to be written for the chiyuv of the person who wants to fulfill the mitzvah. The Aruch Laner, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, he's the Rebbe of Rabbi Samson of Fall Hirsch in Germany. Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger writes that this lishma is like the lishma that you find by a get, that it has to be personalized for the woman who's getting divorced. So too, the Sefer Torah has to be written with the personal intent of the person who's fulfilling the mitzvah. It seems to me that this idea of lishma is closely related with one final theme in the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah, which is part of this notion of a personalized Sefer Torah, and that is that really you have to write the Sefer Torah yourself. Okay, the source for this is again the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara said that you're not yotzei the mitzvah if you just buy it, if you inherit a Sefer Torah from your father. We saw that in the Gemara in Sanhedrin very clearly. But that raises the question, what if you buy a Sefer Torah? Okay, maybe inheritance is no good. What if you went ahead and you bought it on the open market? The Gemara Menachos, we saw that it's like buying a mitzvah from the shuk. Rashi there says, Kechotef mitzvah, third to last source on page 10, Rashi. O mitzvah avid, you fulfill the mitzvah if you buy it from a stam store. Aval yikasav, have a mitzvah yisei retve. Okay, so it's a mitzvah, but it's even better if you do it yourself. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes, against Rashi, Sachar la sofer lichtov lo sefer Torah. If you hire sofer to write the sefer Torah, harei zekilu kasva, because that's shlichus. Aval lakcho, if you just buy it already completed, havei kechotif mitzvah min hashuk, ve'eno yotze b'zeh. So this is stronger. The Rashi said it's just not as good. The Ramah says you're not yotze if you buy an already made sefer Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, the Rambam here seems to say, Mitzvahs ase akol ish v'ish misra lichtov sefer Torah le'atzmo. The mitzvah is to write a sefer Torah for yourself. And then at the end of the halacha he says, v'im eino yodei alichtov achirim kosvim lo. If you don't know how to write, then you could have somebody else write for you. And the Achronim point out, the Rambam seems to hold that you could only commission a shliach to write a sefer Torah for you if you yourself can't write it on your own. Okay, so the mitzvah is to write a sefer Torah yourself. If you can't, then you could have a shliach. Okay? The Minchas Chinuch is medayik, that for the Rambam, also kinyin won't work. Just to buy a Sefer Torah from the marketplace, like the Ramah, you're not yotze, you're chiyuv. The Sfas Emes, okay, writes, you can be medayik from this Rambam, maybe, okay, that you have three levels. If you buy it on the open market, then you're not yotze at all. If you do it through a shliach, then you're yotze, but it's not ideal. If you write it yourself, then the Gemara says that's ki'ilu kibla me'ar Sinai. You have three different levels in the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Mm-hmm. Ramosha Feinstein in Orach Chaim, Chelek Alef Simen and Beis, is raising this question about whether you could have a shliach write your Sefer Torah for you, just suggests. He ultimately rejects this, but he suggests that just like tefillin is not a mitzvah that you could fulfill through a shliach, because you have to put tefillin on your own body, can't hire an agent to put tefillin on for you, it has to be done by yourself. So too for Sefer Torah, Vod Hab Sefer Torah, Ima Ksiva Hi HaMitzvah, if the mitzvah is to write it, it's a mitzvah that has to be done with your own body, that you pour the Kedusha into the Sefer Torah. It's a personal mitzvah. It can't be outsourced.
So I thought if the writing is the main thing, why do we have, I know we kind of went over this, but why do we have that you have to continually possess it if you wrote it already?
I'd say there are at least two necessary conditions. You have to write it and you have to own it. I mean, it's not just having the presence of it. But now we have this third theme that you have to actually invest in the actual writing of Sefer. I would point out that we have this minug to sit down with the sofer and write the last letter. Okay? Some people say that's because even if somebody is going to be mekayim the mitzvah, they shliach, we still want to have as personal a stake in the mitzvah as possible. Yeah. So even if you're filling it by the shliach, you want to have some chilek yourself. No one says this for tefillin. Right? Nobody says it for mezuzah. Nobody says write your own mezuzah, write your own tefillin. Right here, for the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, it's to write it yourself.
You say that there's a mitzvah that we're to learn from.
What?
There's no mitzvah to learn from this, to read the sefer Torah right here.
Well, it depends if you combine the rush with this.
We have writing, we have having it with you possessing,
and we have the rush that is learning. Okay. Right, we have those three themes.
Okay,
but they're not definitely not mutually exclusive. Right, definitely not mutually exclusive. A lot of the chronim try to make them mutually exclusive. If you hold the mitzvah ksiva, then you could sell it. If you hold the mitzvah to have it, then you could buy it. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm going to conclude with in 2 minutes.
So that means
yeah.
I can't also be yotzei talmid Torah with your sefer Torah.
Yeah. I don't know if you wouldn't be Yotzei at all, but it seems like there's a Maila. Some Achronim have this idea that you're supposed to learn from your own Sefer Torah. That's like a special. I'll try to explain that in 1 minute. The Sefer Abatim, the same person we saw before, that Ein Uman Ela B'Klei Umanuso, right? You have to have your Sefer Torah with you. He just explains why is there such an emphasis on writing it yourself. This is the second to last source on page 11. The Kavanas Mitzvah Zimu V'era Shehi Atzvicha L'Shleimas Adam Ki Ein Uman Ela Imkein Klei Umanaso B'Yado. Okay, you have to have a Jew. He has his Sefer Torah with him. Right. Doctor has a stethoscope. A Jew has a Sefer Torah. My wife always tells me that she's studying dermatology, and she says, maybe dermatologists aren't real doctors because they don't carry stethoscopes. Yeah. So you see that it's part of the hagdara of being a doctor is that you have a stethoscope. But I don't know if radiologists carry stethoscopes either.
I do most of them.
Oh, okay.
They don't take insurance, so
certainly. So the Sefer Batim here says, psychologically, a human always likes the things that he creates himself. It's because we're always more affectionate towards things that we make on our own. Because somebody who writes his own Sefer Torah will be naturally attracted to study that thing which he created. People are more inclined towards things that they invest more in. More so than something that's already made. This is why there's such an emphasis that you write your Sefer Torah yourself, even though you received one. Isn't this a beautiful interpretation? This is Sefer Abatim writing in the 13th century. That it's we're more inclined towards things that we create. That's why you have to write your own Sefer Torah. Well,
It's logical.
It's psychological, right? It's a psychological explanation. Okay. The neurologists don't carry stethoscopes either, right?
We do.
Okay. The Sefer Achinuch and Mitzvah Tafreshit Gimel, just as a contrast, just writes, why does everybody have a chiyuv to write a Sefer Torah? So not because of this notion that the Sefer Abatim has. I'm using this as a contrast to Sefer Abatim. He says, you can see on the top of page 12, Nishar Sheham Mitzvah, people do things to the degree that they're prepared for them. People only do things that they have ready for them. So if everybody has a Sefer Torah in their house, then obviously they'll learn because it's there. They'll have to schlep to the local Beis Medrash. Etc. So we should have more books. So it's not like the Sefer Abatim who says you should invest personally in your own Sefer Torah. It's just that we should have enough. Everybody writes one, you have enough. We could lend them out. It's nicer that we read from new books. Yeah, and also a nice library. That's why every generation you have to renew your Sefer Torah. Right, so the Sefer Achinuch is in the camp of the rush. It's about learning. And he tries to explain all these other halachos in terms of learning. But not for the Sefer Abatim. Sefer Abatim, it's like this notion of having your own Sefer Torah that you invest in, that's lishma, lishem, your own mitzvah. It's a very nice minhag that we write the names of the donors on the mantle of the Sefer Torah. It's almost like reflecting that it's like a personalized.
But you can't just use your own Sefer Torah for learning, though.
What?
Didn't we say you just can't go ahead and you have a Sefer Torah in your house, you can't just
So I want to argue that that's the Prisha. And this, so the second theme went against the Prisha. I think as we point out, the mitzvah is to have a Sefer Torah with you. I'll say the third theme of this personalized notion of the Sefer Torah, that you should write it yourself, that it should be lishma for you. I'll say a part of that mitzvah is also that you use your own Sefer Torah. Right? You're learning from the Sefer Torah which you created. Okay? I want to just in the last minute just flesh out this last theme, which I think unites the first three. Okay, there's an element of limud, there's an element of kedusha, and there's an element of the personalization of the Sefer Torah, and that these three themes are combined. I want to suggest it's still somewhat speculative. So you could ask this question as, where is the climax of kedusha come from? Yeah, because Sefer Torah, I think, is the pinnacle of the kedusha that we speak about. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right? You could talk about the Beis Hamikdash. You have the luchos and the Sefer Torah inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A lot of Rishonim say you can't bring karbanos if the luchos aren't there. Right? You need the aron with the Sefer Torah there. In our shuls, right, the kedushas Beis HaKnesses is always around the Sefer Torah, which is in the aron and at the center. So I could ask you, where does this? Is this the ultimate kedusha that we have in Bnei Yisrael?
In modern times?
Yeah.
No, I thought a base midrash has a greater kedusha
than a base knesset. Maybe. What about a Sefer Torah? But Sefer Torah has more kedusha than a base midrash, right? So you might say, okay, kedusha's Sefer Torah comes from Har Sinai, maybe. I would just say, the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah on each member of Bnei Yisrael, the kedusha of the Sefer Torah comes from the author who imbues it with its kedusha. Okay, the Rav has a very nice idea. The Shefter quotes this in a little paragraph that he has to explain why we shouldn't use machines to write out Sefer Torah. It's the idea from the Rav that the kedusha of the Sefer Torah comes from the author who writes every letter lishma inside that Sefer Torah. That's where the kedusha comes from. And it's striking that in halacha, it's not clear what exactly the relationship between the kedusha of the Sefer Torah itself is and the kedusha of the member of Bnei Yisrael who actually writes that Sefer Torah. Let me give two examples. Here on page 12, the Gemara in Makos, Chaf Bez and Bez, just Rava says, Kama tipshoi shar inshi dekaim mekame Sefer Torah, velo kaim mekame gava rabba. Right? How stupid are these people who stand up for the Sefer Torah but don't stand up in front of the great people who live by it? Study it. Gemara in Kedushin almost has the opposite relationship. Mahu lamod b'pnei Sefer Torah. Reb Chilkev, Reb Simon, Reb Lazar, Ami Kal v'chom, Reb Nelom Deho, Omdin, Reb Nelo Kol Shekein. Now let's see how these Gemaras are at odds. The Gemara in Mako says, you're stupid if you stand up for a Sefer Torah and don't stand up for its people who study it. The Gemara in Kedushin says, you should stand up for a Sefer Torah because you stand up for the people who study it. Okay, so notice that we already hear the relationship between the two entities. What's the source for tearing kriya when you're there when someone passes away? Shas yitzias neshama, when somebody dies. How are you supposed to tear kriya if you're in a hospital and somebody dies in front of you? Marin Shabbos naf kafeim beis Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer ha'omid al hameis b'shas yitzias neshama chayv lekroa halimaz adoma l'sefer Torah shenisrafa. We know that you're supposed to tear kriya when you see a sefer Torah that's burnt in front of you. So to use tear kriya when a human being, a Jew, dies in front of you in the hospital. Okay, so again, you see that there's a strong parallel between almost the way we treat the kedusha of an individual and the Sefer Torah. The makar for tearing kriya, v'shiyas neshama, is from a Sefer Torah shenisrafa. Okay.
So even a non-relative.
Even a non-relative, any Jew who passes away. This is why doctors often tear kriya. Do people do this today?
Never seen that.
You've never seen it? I guess maybe they sell their, you know, they hold that their white coat is owned by the hospital or something. But there are people who tear kriya when someone dies in the hospital in front of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Most doctors don't see patients. Don't see people die.
Yeah. Right.
I remember my first day on the ward, and my chief resident grabbed me and said, "There's someone about to pass away. You should see this so that you know what you're
doing." Ask around if you hear of doctors who tear kriya when they're in the hospital. I know a pulmonologist in the community where I grew up, he tore kriya when this happened.
I must have had a lot of shirts.
What?
Must have had a lot of shirts.
Yeah. Okay, maybe you could like also sell your...
What? The guys are only batting like 200. It's not common.
So look at Rashi here for a second. Just look at Rashi. Rashi in Shabbos Kuf Hei Mabes, bottom source. Haroa Sefer Torah Shanisraf Chayv Likroa. Okay, we know this from Nach that you have to tear kriya when a Sefer Torah is burned. Af nishmas Yisrael hanitelas domalo. Hashein lecha rik b'Yisrael, hashein l'Torah mitzvos. There's almost a parallel here between the neshama of
people who go to the kotel beyond 30 days.
But that's different. That's avelos on the korban.
Oh,
this is about the notion of like a sefer Torah being destroyed, the loss of the kedusha. Okay. So again, you see a parallel between the two. What? So this is what Rashi quoted, that it comes from Nach. Moed Katan, Chavav. That and when Yehoyakim burnt the Sefer Torah, that they were given Moshe at the Lokar Begadim. Okay. Here's another parallel. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Yud Halacha Gimel. So this is, remember the Halacha, Perek Be, Halacha Beis was that Sefer Torah has to have Kedusha, you have to treat it with Kedusha, that's why you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Remember, we saw this question. According to the Rambam, remember, the Isser to sell a Sefer Torah is because the Kedusha Shabo. Okay, now, remember, we asked the question, how could you sell a Sefer Torah? Lisa Isha, or, right, how does that justify undermining the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah? Right, just to have children. So the Rambam here in Perek Yedalach again, I'll just notice this. What do you do with a Sefer Torah that's worn out? Sefer Torah, Shabala, O Shanifsa, Nosa Nosa, Bukli Cheres, you put it inside. Kovar Nosa, Eitzat Tamir Chachamim, V'zui Genizaso. You bury a Sefer Torah with people who study Sefer Torah. Mitpachos Svarim, also the covers of Sefer Torah Shabalu, what do you do with them? Also know some Tachrichin Lemes Mitzvah, V'zui Genizasan. You might have almost thought, Sefer Torah, does Kedusha Sefer Torah have a special place in the cemetery for the... That's not true. Sefer Torah gets buried with the people who study it. The mantle of the Sefer Torah is used for a Mes Mitzvah. Somebody dies and he doesn't have anybody to bury him, you use the Sefer Torah to... You use the covers of the Sefer Torah to bury him. So I think the parallel here is very striking. And I'll just add, to answer this question that we posed for the Rambam, how could you sell a Sefer Torah if the Isser is because of the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, just to justify Puravu, Lisa Isha? I would say that this comes not from the mitzvah of Limud per se, but in terms of this parallel that you see in terms of the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, Nefesh Achas Mi Yisrael, that we view almost the Sefer Torah and the embodiment of a Jewish life as having the same kind of the same notion of a Kedusha. And when you sell your Sefer Torah to bring more children into the world, that too is a kiyum in the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah. That's what I would suggest for this Rambam. Now I would just say to wrap up. You have this fundamental question about what's the ultimate notion of Kedusha, the Sefer Torah, right, which seems to be the highest level of Kedusha. And yet you find there's a chiyuv on every member of B'nai Yisrael that he should be the creator of that Kedusha. And I think that changes our whole perspective towards what the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah is. And our perspective is, it's in the shul, we shouldn't use it for our own learning, right? We like this prisha sometimes. I'm not going to have a Sefer Torah in my house, I don't even know what to do with the thing, like what, I'm not allowed to watch television when my Sefer Torah is there. Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samid, that's also an important theme in the Sefer Torah. And more importantly is that every member of B'nai Yisrael has this connection to the Sefer Torah, that he's not just somebody who's receiving it from like you're receiving this Sefer Torah from Sinai, as like it was given to Moshe, and it stayed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and every generation we come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and we hear the Dvar Hashem from Sion. But it's almost the notion that this balance between the Kedushas of every individual and the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah is one, where the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah is subjected almost to each individual of B'nai Yisrael, where he sees the Sefer Torah not as like a foreign entity, not something that's just, you know, hearkening from beyond, but something that's almost a product of his own creation. And I think this would change our perception of the Sefer Torah. So the mitzvah is Kedusha, Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samid, that's one component. There's the mitzvah of Limud, to learn from the Sefer Torah, which you yourself created, almost as an author of that Torah, you learn back from it. And finally, this notion of always having it, of this notion of that the Sefer Torah comes from the Kedusha of the individual who imbues it with that status. Yes, that's my three themes in the midst of Sefer Torah that are very much related.
So, halacha l'maaseh, for those of us who do not...